Committee on Judiciary to order, June 17th, 2:05. Now, if we get done today, this is going to be the end of it, other than two bills, thank God.
Thank you, Siri.
I think everything else will be going to state and federal affairs.
Big rules. Big rules.
And I know my two Democratic colleagues here are thrilled.
We're delighted.
Okay, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 568.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 568A.
Representative Olson has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 568A. Those of the opinion the rules should be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on 568 will say aye. Let's do it verbally today. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 568A was sent to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved that we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 568 was sent to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any committee discussion? Those in the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which 568A was sent to the floor with the due pass recommendation will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And additionally, Mr. Chair, I move that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Budget by prior reference be rescinded.
Representative Olson moves that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Budget by prior reference be rescinded. Any discussion? Those of the opinion that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Budget by prior reference be rescinded will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay.
And finally, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 568A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves Senate Bill 568A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I just want to reiterate that I'm so opposed to this bill. I think it unfairly discriminates against a small portion of the population who happen to drive a little fast.
A little fast.
Those in the opinion that we should send 568 to the floor of the due pass recommendation will say aye.
Aye.
Let's do a vote on this one because it is final going down. Yeah. Or no on the other.
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garay?
He's excused.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative
Worth?
No.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 568A goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are you the carrier, Representative Olson?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Open a work session on House Bill 2247.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2247 and the Dash 1 amendments, which replace the bill, represent a consensus between the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition. This bill modifies regulations with respect to manufactured dwelling parks, floating home mortgages, mobile home parks, and recreational vehicles. This bill is likely a good candidate for the consent calendar.
Okay, a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2247 to the floor on the consent calendar with a due power.
With the amendment.
As amended, due pass.
Sure. Representative Flores moves House Bill 2247 as amended to the floor and to be placed on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman, excuse.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard? Excuse. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Borden? Aye. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson? Aye. Chair
Krieger? Aye.
House Bill 2247
as amended
goes to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Flores, you're the carrier.
Consent calendar, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, you are. I'll mark it off.
Thank you.
Thank you. motion. Open a work session on House Bill 2157.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2157A be reported out without recommendation as to passage with amendments and be put it engrossed, and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Representative Pearson moves that House Bill 2157A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and with amendments be printed engrossed, and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Any discussion?
Chair Krieger, did you want to have the committee adopt the A-19 amendments, which combine the others and make one minor change?
Yeah.
Do you want me to
go ahead and
further explain that?
Yes, go ahead.
The Civil Subcommittee adopted 13 amendments to this bill. The A-19s include those amendments, and they make one minor change. That change is to Section 2 of the bill. That section sets out the general framework for agencies to follow when they want to receive background checks. Within that framework, is limiting language. One of the limitations is regarding to, I guess, what we may consider vulnerable persons. It sets out those are persons who are elderly, younger, persons of the minority, and disabled persons. The age limit set on that was 65. DHS raised some concerns and wanted that age to be moved down to 55. That's the only substantive change in the Dash A-19's amendment, A-19 amendments. Otherwise, they are just combining the other amendments.
They are just a combination of the other amendments that were the other 18?
The other 13 plus that one change I just described.
I need a motion to have those amendments put in the bill before we move it.
Mr. Chair, first a point of clarification. According to my notes in the civil sub, the bill was amended with the dash threes through dash 11s and dash 13s, 14s, 17s, and 18s. And so those are not yet in the bill? Are we replacing those, that action in effect with the dash 19s?
That's what we're doing. They were put in the sub, and we're replacing them, bringing them all together.
Well then, Mr. Chair, I move that the dash 19s be moved into House Bill 2157A on the understanding that they are consolidation of the amendments dash 3 through dash 18 that were adopted in the other day.
Okay, Representative McPherson has moved the dash 19 amendments into House Bill 2157. Any objections? They're in. And we did have a motion we were working on. I'll continue that. Those are the opinion that House Bill 2157 be reported out without recommendation as the passage and amendments and to be printed and engrossed, and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. I want to vote on this, not just on the INA. So call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman excused. Representative Barker. Aye. Representative Flores. Aye. Representative Garrard excused. Representative Thatcher. Aye. Representative Ward. Aye. Vice Chairman McPherson. Aye. Mr. Olson. Aye. Mr. Krieger. Aye. Motion carries.
Open the work session on House Bill 2693.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2693 with the dash 2 amendments provide that employers are not required to accommodate the use of medical marijuana regardless of if it is used in the workplace or not. The purpose of this bill is to allow employers to treat employees who have medical marijuana cards similarly to employees who do not have those cards. The effect of that really would be if the employer has a policy, a drug-free workforce policy that sets out certain disciplinary actions. If, for instance, an employee tested positive in a urine analysis for marijuana, that the employer could take certain steps. That employer could treat those employees the same, whether or not they have a medical marijuana card. This bill is in response to case Washburn versus Columbia Forest Products. In that case, an employee did test positive for marijuana in a urine analysis, and the employer took steps according to their drug workforce policy and ultimately fired that employee. That employee brought an action against the employer based on the Oregon disability law. The employer prevailed in the trial court, and then the Court of Appeals in Washburn overturned that decision. they held that the employer could not or needed to accommodate the medical use of marijuana because that did not happen in the workplace. And so this bill, specifically looking at the Dash 2 amendments on lines 11 and 12, specify that an employer can or does not need to accommodate the medical use of marijuana. It takes out the term in the workplace and replaces that with regardless of that where that occurs. Of course, this would allow employers to, I guess, or not require employers to accommodate the medical use of marijuana. They could if they wanted to, and this is also based on whether or not they had a policy to do that. The next two provisions are more specific relating to the workplace, just clarifying that employers don't have to accommodate impaired employees, I guess regardless if they had a policy or not regarding a drug-free workplace. And then the final provision of that amendment sets out or further clarifies that employers can have a drug-free workforce policy regardless if there is an issue with the medical marijuana card.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Are the Dash 2s in?
They are.
Okay. Need a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2693 to the floor with a two-pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved House Bill 2693 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Any objections? Discussion?
Yeah, just a comment. I support the bill and with the Dash 2 amendments, Mr. Chair, and I want to emphasize that this doesn't prevent employers from deciding to accommodate a medical marijuana card. It just avoids their being compelled to accommodate it.
And this is really an issue when we get into places of public safety, equipment, and technical type instruments that people might be using. Would you call a roll, please?
Representative
Barker. Aye. Representative Flores. Aye. Representative Ferrar. Excuse. Representative Thacker. Aye. Representative Ward. Aye. Vice Chairman Person. Aye. Mr. Olson. Aye. Chair Krieger.
Aye.
House Bill 2693 moves to the floor with
a
due pass as amended. And
Representative Flores,
do you want to carry?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Representative Olson will be my backup.
You can co-carry if you want.
I don't know if I want to co-carry.
Okay.
No, I'll be.
Okay, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 920.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, this bill came back to Civil Subcommittee for reconsideration to adopt conflict amendments. This bill is from Oregon Law Commission. It revises Oregon's law relating to execution sales. Again, the Civil Subcommittee adopted conflict amendments to take care of a conflict with House Bill 2359.
Bill already.
They're in the bill. They're the Dash A5s.
Okay, I need a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 920A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 920A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, objections? Call the roll, please. Representative Gerard was the carry. We notify him so we'll make sure he remembers. Open work session on Senate Bill 973.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 973 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Rules. This bill requires an individual who is going to adopt a child to include names and addresses of specified persons when filing a petition for adoption. It also requires a petitioner to serve a petition to a child's grandparents if the parents are deceased or incapacitated, if the names and addresses of the grandparents are known and readily ascertainable by the petitioner. Now, we had testimony in committee of an unfortunate situation where an individual died and that individual's children were adopted by another couple, and the grandparents were never notified of that. So this bill is meant to correct that problem. Now, there was no opposition in committee to this, and it passed the Senate unanimously.
Can I have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 973A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 973A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, objections? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman, excused. Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Farrar, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 973A moves to the floor with a due pass, and Representative Garrard is the carrier of that also.
We have a dash A4 amendment.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 181A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 181A provides that the court may decline to waive or defer filing fees or court costs for an inmate who is the plaintiff in an action against a public body if the court finds the pleadings fail to state a claim for which relief may be granted. There were some amendments discussed by the subcommittee. Those were not adopted. There is a dash A4 amendment before the full committee today. It was requested by the subcommittee, and it provides a one-time only extension to the statute of limitations. If a limited judgment based on a denial of a request for a fee waiver is entered within 30 days of the expiration of the statute of limitations. In such a situation, the inmate would have 45 days from the date of the entry of the limited judgment to commence the action. Only one such extension would be allowed under this section.
Mr. Chair, let me describe it to the committee here what I think the issue is in the A4s. And I support the bill. I think it's a good bill. And the issue is whether the A4 amendment should be adopted, which I think there was an open question in the subcommittee about whether that needed to be done or not. The concern had been expressed about the bill that under certain circumstances, not having the fee waiver could cause a person to lose their cause of action. Their claim would be precluded by statute of limitations because they were too close to the time when the statute of limitations was going to run out, and so they this would, under the A4 amendments, would allow an extension for the first time that they file a complaint that fails to state a cause of action to give them an extra 45 days, and it's only one time, so that they can't go into a continuous loop where they're never running through their statute of limitations. I think that as a practical matter, it's going to be a very unusual circumstance where an inmate is waiting until the end of the time in which the statute of limitations is going to run before they're going to file an action. So I don't regard the A4 amendment as probably having much practical effect. I think it having been identified, I think it's worth doing, but I certainly would support the bill without it.
Okay. Do we have the motion on the amendment?
Well, I will move then the A4 amendments into Senate Bill 181.
Representative McPherson has moved the dash four amendments into Senate Bill 181A. Any further discussion? Objections? Okay, they're in.
But then I move Senate Bill 181A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 181A as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any objections? Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman, excused. Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard, excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 181A has amended, moves to the floor with the due pass, and Representative Ackerman is the carrier. Okay, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 198A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 198A would allow the alleged victim of a person crime to select a personal representative to accompany that victim to virtually all phases of the investigation and prosecution. It would prohibit court and law enforcement from preventing that representative from accompanying the victim. It provides definitions of protective services workers and personal representatives and clarifies that the representative must be over 18 years old. It provides that health care providers, law enforcement officers, or protective services workers may exclude a representative if they feel the person is interfering with the process. It grants civil and criminal immunity to any official who decides to exclude a representative. And it provides that the fact that a personal representative was allowed or not allowed to accompany the complainant may not be used as evidence in a criminal trial.
A motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 198A to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker has moved Senate Bill 198A to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion, objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman is here. Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard is here. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair Person?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. 198A moves to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Burke, are you the carrier?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Open work session on Senate Bill 243A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 243A modifies the conditions of post-prison supervision and parole for individuals convicted of sex crimes to prohibit those persons from being present at or on property adjacent to the grounds of a school, child care center, playground, or other place intended for use primarily by children without prior written approval. It further modifies the conditions to prohibit such persons from being present more than one time at a place where persons under 18 regularly congregate without prior written approval.
Motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, if I could confirm what my recollection here. The Dash 5 amendment, was that moved into the bill in the sub?
According to Mr. O'Leary's file, the Dash A5 was moved.
I believe it was. And I, just to kind of refresh the full committee recommendation, this came before full committee before, and there was concern expressed about the phrase near to school grounds and the in potential indefiniteness of that. And it was taken back for further discussion, and then the substitute language or on property adjacent to was used on in the belief that being adjacent is more definite than being near when you're talking about locations. And so with that understanding, I will move Senate Bill 243A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative McPherson.
I do have a question about the phrase "the near or adjacent." Mm-hmm. I guess I'm confused. As we're concerned about the access, so couldn't you be inadvertently walking on a property adjacent to a school, but not have either visual or any other kind of access? I don't think the access point is in there. But if the committee's comfortable with it, it's just.
The purpose of the bill is to restrict the places where individuals convicted of sex crimes can go when they're under post-prison supervision. There is authority for their supervising officer to give them authority to be certain places, but this. This would prevent them from being, under the language of the amended bill, adjacent to school grounds or child care center. And I think the thrust of the bill wasn't to deny access. It was to deny their physical presence there within a certain proximity to those kinds of facilities.
Okay.
You made the motion on
I did make the motion to move it to the floor. Do pass.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 243A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. 243A moved to the floor as amended with the Duke pass. And Representative McPherson, I believe you're the carrier.
I am. Thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 273.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 273 comes to you from the Oregon State Bar Consumer Law Section. This bill increases homestead exemption for judgment debtors from $25,000 to $30,000 for single debtors, from $33,000 to $39,600 for joint debtors who are members of the same household, and it increases the motor vehicle exemption for judgment debtors from $1,700 to $2,150. These increases represent a 20% increase from the current amounts. The exemptions were last increased in 1993 and 1981.
Any discussion on the bill?
I have one question. I'm wondering if anybody is aware of why a full one-third of the Senate rejected this bill. I don't know. I just wondered if anybody was aware of any particular reasons.
I could not find a reason. In fact, I had some conversation with Senator Walker, proponents and opponents, and there were discussions of making a greater exemption for seniors as a result of medical problems, reducing it for second-time offenders. By the time we got all done, we ended up coming back to where we are now. Got consensus to move the bill as it was, as it came from the Senate. And probably that's a good, probably good choice. Have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 273A to the floor with the Duke pass.
Representative Barker has moved Senate Bill 273A to the floor with the Duke pass. Any further discussion? Objections? Call the roll.
Representative
Beckerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Excused.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Thurston?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Senate Bill 273A
moves the floor with the Duke pass and Representative Guerrero. I think I actually wanted to carry the bill.
Yeah.
We need to open the work session.
Yeah. Open a work session on Senate Bill 548A.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 548A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Representative McPherson has moved that Senate Bill 548A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Any discussion?
Yes, what's the reason for the referral?
Instructions from the Speaker of the House.
Okay.
If I, well, I can elaborate a little bit on that, Representative Ackerman. Chair Krieger.
Getting to the point. I just get to the point.
I should have asked counsel.
I think that the bill needs a little tweaking, or certainly there are stakeholders requesting some amendments, and quite frankly, we couldn't get them all put together before House Judiciary closed, and the Speaker's office instructed us to take care of it in State and Federal Affairs.
Well, I think we have the capability of working this bill, and it always happens at the end of the session. We lose a lot of good bills to dead committees, and I know that's a problem of our archaic form of government in which we meet every other year, but I've had my say, and I think it's a good bill. We should put it forward, and that should be my position.
Ackerman, I don't believe it's going there to die. I was not told that. I think there are some things they want to look at and try to fix it, and what those are, I wasn't party to that at this time. Just so you know.
My feeling is if the Committee on State and Federal Affairs has time to do it, we have time to do it, and this is the venue to do these things, so yeah. I'm ready to take on the bill.
Okay. Any further objections? All right. Those are the opinion that we should move Senate Bill 548A be reported out without a recommendation as to passage and the bill referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. We'll say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 881A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 881A provides a process for tracking of information about court-appointed trustees. Before being appointed as a court-appointed trustee, a person will be required to submit a statement to the court, including their contact information, educational credentials, and identification of any other trust administered by the person, and to disclose whether they have ever been removed by the court as a trustee for cause. If a person fails to comply with disclosure requirements or provides false information, the measure gives the court authority to remove the person as a trustee and impose appropriate sanction. If a trustee who is required to make the disclosure statement is under the measure is removed, the court is required to give written notice to the state court administrator. The state court administrator is required to maintain those records for at least 5 years. This bill does not apply to trust companies, institutions insured by the FDIC, and other trusts identified by Chief Justice by rule. The amended measure contains a sunset and repeals the statute on January 2 of 2010.
You said there was an amendment? What'd you say?
No, there's no amendment.
No amendment. Okay. Representative Ackerman?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that Senate Bill 881A be forwarded to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Ackerman has moved Senate Bill 881A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 881A moves to the floor with a due pass. Representative Ackerman, you're the carrier.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 914A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 914A would direct the Department of Corrections to establish a uniform pre-sentence report forms that require the report writers to provide analysis of what disposition is most likely to reduce the offender's criminal conduct and to provide an assessment of the availability of any relevant programs available to the offender.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 914A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 914A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard excused. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 914A moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative McPherson, will you be the carrier?
Yes, sir.
Yep, we have a letter. I'll just tell whoever makes the motion and then we'll answer.
Open work session on Senate Bill 919A.
Mr. Chair, I move that.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 919A directs the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to study the feasibility of incorporating consideration of reduction of criminal behavior and reduction of crime rate into the sentencing guidelines. This bill came to the Judiciary Committee with a subsequent referral to the Budget Committee. That subsequent referral has been, or at least our request to rescind the subsequent referral, has been approved by the Speaker's office. So whoever makes the motion needs to also move to rescind the subsequent referral.
Representative Olson.
Hello. Mr. Chair, I would move then that, exactly, what was that again? Okay, make
how
a motion.
How are you
to
doing?
Thank you. To remove the
subsequent referral.
Yes, the subsequent referral on Senate Bill and submit to the floor.
Okay, Representative Olson thank has you. Moved that we remove this. Rescind the subject of referral from the Budget Committee and move the floor to the floor of the due pass. Any other? What are you smiling about over there?
She's got a red.
Any other discussions?
No.
Objections? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard excuse. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 919A moves to the floor with a due pass with the referral the budget was removed.
Yeah, I believe so.
Over on a work session on Senate Bill 965A.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 965A creates a civil cause of action for invasion of personal privacy. There are four ways that somebody can have this cause of action. One, if a defendant knowingly made a visual recording of the plaintiff in a state of nudity without the consent of the plaintiff, and at the time the recording was made, the plaintiff was in a place and circumstance where they had a reasonable expectation of privacy. The second way is that for the purpose of sexual gratification, the defendant was in a location to observe the plaintiff in a state of nudity without the consent of the plaintiff, and that the plaintiff was in a place and circumstance where they had a reasonable expectation of privacy. The third way is for the purpose of sexual gratification of any person, the defendant knowingly made a visual recording of an intimate area of the plaintiff without plaintiff's consent, or viewed an intimate area of the plaintiff without the consent of the plaintiff. And finally, that the defendant, without the consent of the plaintiff, knowingly disseminates a visual recording of the plaintiff in a state of nudity in a place and circumstance where the plaintiff had a reasonable expectation of privacy. We heard testimony in committee of a couple situations where this type of bill would have effect. One, there was a father who took pictures of his daughter and her friends at a swimming meet, and he had some camera that basically allowed it so that the pictures would come out and have them more or less naked. Their suits would not be on in the pictures. Another situation was where a boyfriend had taped sexual acts between him and his girlfriend, and then when they broke up, he proceeded to put those tapes on the internet and sent them out, disseminated them somehow. This cause of action is meant to cover those types of situations. There are amendments that need to be adopted or need to be considered by the committee, -A7 amendments. Those amendments delete references to liquidated damages in the bill. There was some concern that if there was liquidated damages, and those are damages that are specifically set out that you can receive for this type of cause of action, if those damages are set out, then it may act as a limitation to the compensatory damages that may be received. Individuals bringing this cause of action would have a claim for compensatory damages, and because of that overlap, the term liquidated damages is taken out in the -A7 amendments.
Okay, Representative Ackerman?
Yes.
Did you instruct the amendments to be made and brought back?
It was discussed in the civil subcommittee, and that was the route we took.
Okay, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the -7 amendments be incorporated within Senate Bill 965.
Representative Ackerman has moved that the A7 amendments be incorporated in Senate Bill 965A. Any objections?
Actually, I want to get us a little more understanding about the issue, if I could, Mr. Chair. And I apologize for not having explored this earlier.
Call over house.
Okay.
I could maybe have it offline with my colleague, Representative Ackerman.
Okay, we'll just take a recess and come back to your discussion before we take a motion on the bill.
Yeah, okay.
We had a motion to adopt the A7, is that right? We had discussion. Representative McPherson, you're satisfied with that?
I am, Mr. Chair. I mean, I would say it. I think what it leaves is the obligation or the burden on the plaintiff to prove compensatory damages, which would be pain, probably emotional pain and suffering. But they can make that proof, and I think that that is probably adequate without the liquidated damages.
Any further discussion on that amendments? If not, the amendments are in. Need a motion on the bill? Ms. Ackerman?
Sorry. Move that Senate Bill 965A be forwarded to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved Senate Bill 965A as amended with the dash sevens to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Discussion? Call the roll.
Aye.
Representative Barker? Aye. Representative Flores? Aye. Representative Hughes? Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Gore? Aye. Representative Kramer? Aye. Representative Olson? Aye. Chair Krieger? Aye. Senate Bill 965A as amended moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative Ackerman, would you be the carrier?
I'll do that.
Open a work session on House Bill 3491.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 3491 was amended by the subcommittee, and it creates the crime of disorderly conduct in the first degree for initiating a false report of bomb threat or other impending emergencies in or upon the schools. That offense is a Class A misdemeanor for a first-time offender and a Class C felony for a second or subsequent offense. It also provides authorization to the juvenile court to order a pre-adjudication detention of a youth alleged to be in violation of the misdemeanor offense created by this measure.
Council, the dash one amendments were, we did move those in the sub, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3491 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 3491 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Call the roll.
Representative Backerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker? Aye. Representative Flores? Aye. Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Gore? Aye. Vice Chairman McPherson? Aye. Vice Chair Olson? Aye. Chair Krieger? Aye. House Bill 3491 as amended moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative McPherson, could you carry please?
I will.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 236.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 236 comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. This bill clarifies that a civil action for discrimination in a place of public accommodation or a civil action for aiding and abetting discrimination in a place of public accommodation must be commenced within 1 year of the occurrence of the unlawful practice. Currently, there's no statute of limitation for these types of civil actions. This bill fixes that omission, statutory omission.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 236 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores has moved Senate Bill 236 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion or objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard Excuse? Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Senate Bill 236 moves to the floor with a due pass. The Representative Flores, you're the carrier.
Yes, sir.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 239.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 239 also comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission. This bill creates consistency throughout Oregon anti-discrimination laws concerning who is protected. Specifically, the bill will reorder lists of where they appear in the statutes and provide consistent statutory structure. It also adds protected classes where it appears that such classes were unintentionally omitted.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 239 be forwarded to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Senate Bill 239 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Ferrar?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 239 moves the floor with a due pass, and Representative Ackerman, I have you down as a carrier.
I will, thank you.
Well, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 392.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 392 would clarify that a person cannot inherit by intestate succession or through a will or trust if the person is the slayer of the person from whom the property passes. The property is treated as if the slayer predeceases the person slain. It would prohibit a slayer from inheriting from the heir or devisee of the slain person as well, should that devisee die, unless the devisee, in a will or other instrument executed after the death of the person slain, specifically provides the slayer should inherit. It would prohibit a slayer as well from benefiting from an insurance policy on the life of the person slain through the slain person's heirs.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 392 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved Senate Bill 392 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection or discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thacker?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. 392 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative McPherson, would you carry?
Yes, I will.
Committee members, the last two bills, 331 and 153, I had to get permission to move those bills. We wouldn't have had hearings. They probably would have died. I think they both have some merit, and I want to have time to work with people regarding them. So we have some motions I'd like to do to get them to state and federal affairs.
Are we in work session then on 331?
On 331, we are in work session.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 331A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Representative McPherson has moved that Senate Bill 331 be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Any discussion?
Yes, I'm opposed to this for the reasons of my previous statement on referral of really simple and functional and good bills to another committee when we have the capacity and I believe the time to address these. So I'll be voting no.
Okay, so noted. Any further discussion? Those are the opinion that we should move Senate Bill 331A. And it be reported out without recommendation as to passage, and the bill referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs will say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
And Mr. Chair, I assume we're in work session on Senate Bill
153.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 153A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Representative McPherson has moved that Senate Bill 153A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Committee discussion? Those are the opinion that we should move Senate Bill 153A be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs will say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
So noted. Motion carries. Committee members, I think we have cleared all of the bills that have come to this committee with the exception of the Blakely. Supreme Court decision we're going to deal with as a full committee, and also the meth package. Blakely, we're going to try to do, I believe, Tuesday and possibly Thursday, get the testimony in, the rest of it, and the amendments to 2485, the House side of the bill that deals with the meth package. I imagine most of you have been lobbied on an issue or two. And we need to have that discussion Thursday and take a look at the changes that the work group that Representative McPherson and I are on. And we'll do that, if possible, Thursday, because this bill, we're not going to get out of the billing until we get it done. We're not going home. So we've got to ourselves to getting it done and getting it done right.
Yep.
I thank you for your attendance, and we're adjourned.